Hi, I'm Sam Stokes. Today, let's get started with using Microsoft Azure Machine Learning. Machine learning has been around for quite some time. If you saw the movie Imitation Game, you saw the very beginnings of machine learning. Although not well explained in the movie, the Church-Turing thesis is the basis of all computer science, and in particular, machine learning. This is where we use machines to help us understand the world about us. Seriously, this isn't about computer science. It's more about being able to use statistics, data inputs from things like your IoT device, your Raspberry Pi, connected to a temperature sensor, looking at videos, examining your emails, and using machine learning to help you better understand social media and science. In science, we can do research on things like breast cancer and other cancers and help doctors focus cancer treatments for people. So it's a big deal, and it's been around for quite a while. Now, Microsoft Azure Machine Learning allows you, as we'll see in this video, to use a pretty easy-to-use interface to create machine learning applications. They're based on R. If you are a person who uses R, and high school students through college PhDs, in fact, last night I was giving a talk to an audience mostly made up of PhDs in machine learning at UCLA. We had quite a long talk, and we were up late talking about machine learning, so it was quite interesting for me. And I would like to bring that to you. So let's get started. Okay. Microsoft Azure Machine Learning. Over the six dev radio shows that we'll be doing, I'll be talking about today an introduction to machine learning. In today's lesson, we will be examining how to use the Azure ML Studio. Now, many of the videos that you may find online show some of the older versions of the ML Studio, and there's been some changes. This will be the latest as of today in April 2015. Next, we'll be talking about how to use the Recommender solution with Azure ML. This is an interesting tool that you can use that helps you improve the output of the Azure ML so that it does help people who may not be used to using things like R language and R statistics. In number three, we'll be using IoT input to your machine learning model. In this case, we'll be taking a look at an earlier series of modules that I did around littoral research, and we'll be using the little robot that I created to go and collect some temperature data, and then we'll use our machine learning to see if we can pull some data out of that. Then in number four, we'll be doing Azure ML API services and extensibility scenarios. Now, this is pretty typical for most machine learning videos. We'll be going a little bit more into depth into the API services so that if you're not used to working with API services, you'll also have an understanding of not only how to use API services, but also how to use them with the Azure ML. Then there's a conclusion, and that would conclude we'll go through and make sure you have a good understanding of what ML is at a high level, but in each of the modules we'll be doing more and more in-depth use of the module and how to troubleshoot it. And then in post-conclusion module number six is we'll talk about how to make money with machine learning. Now, for many of the people listening to this, being able to make small amounts of money off of apps, you may understand that ecology, but the app ecology across Microsoft is fairly robust, not oversubscribed, and it's one of the few places in software that does not have overutilization, so you can still make some good change out of that. So let's set expectations. In many machine learning videos and learnings, there is always the recommendation that you understand probability and statistics, that you understand calculus and linear algebra. What I want you to understand is that if you don't understand these things, there are a number of easy sites. Basically, all you have to know is the very easiest components of these. Just go to those sites. Khan Academy or any of those kind of learning sites can get you through the very beginning of calculus just so that you can have an understanding of what it does. R is set up so that there are many textbooks that are very beginner textbooks. Most of the important stuff being done in machine learning right now does not go beyond very beginner stuff, and there's a very simple reason why. If you move much beyond the beginner stuff, it is very hard to describe what you're trying to solve to people who don't know this kind of technology. And that encompasses most of management. And that's no insult to management. They have other jobs to do. So most of your time needs to be spent making sure that simple solutions are managed and dealt with. And then you can extend in those as people begin to trust you. But remember, start with very simple, and you may end up only doing simple stuff and making a lot of money off of it. Complexity does not always necessarily lead to making money. Keep it simple. Keep it smart. So in this module, we're going to just talk about, I've already given you a machine learning overview, Azure machine learning strengths. Okay, let's face it, I'm a shill for Microsoft. Azure ML, pretty cool. The tool that we have, the high level, being able to drag and drop stuff, is somewhat unique to Microsoft. Is this the only machine learning system in the planet? No. But the way that we do it is unique. But Google started machine learning about the same time we did. They have a good Hadoop story. So does Microsoft. So it's basically, you have to look at it from the point of view of what does your customer want you to use. Now, Microsoft, we want you to use Azure. Google wants you to use Google. AWS wants you to use AWS. In AWS, you would use R and stand up virtual machines to run it. In Google, there is some sort of machine learning tool that you can use there. I'm not familiar with it. My recommendation, go take a look at it. In Azure, we're going to be going over this, and we have a number of videos and workspaces that you can use. And we'll be exploring the ML Studio as well in depth very shortly. So now we're going to go to a demo. I am simply going to use a demo that exists at bit.ly/UCLA prep. See how clever I was? I didn't even reuse the bit.ly that I used at UCLA last night. Okay, this is the Azure Cloud. If you haven't been here before, this is what it looks like, and we get to it by going to azure.microsoft.com. Now, you can deploy your first cloud solution within 5 minutes. You can try it for free. When you do the for free piece, you get 30 days on a credit card, and if you think about it, it's one credit card and then another credit card, and then you can maybe figure that out. But I'm not using the free account right now. I'm using what's called an MSDN Ultimate account, and this kind of account is what you get if you spend $1,800 a year on MSDN. Now, MSDN subscriptions come with plenty of benefits, and they're worth way more than $1,800. Now, I'm not saying this is a commercial. I'm saying this is really, you get $150 worth of Azure a month. There's your $1,800. Plus, you get all the Microsoft software like Office 365 as a developer. You get free access to the developer store and so forth. So this is really a pretty good deal, even if you have to pay for it. Now, this is the type of portal that you would get if you pay for it. So I'm going to go into this. I'm clicking on portal. And now it opens up. Slowly but surely it opens up, and of course I would have entered a password, and now I have access to all this stuff inside of Azure. Fairly easy. There's two portals that we can use. We can use this portal, or we can use the new portal, as they call it here. We can switch to the Azure portal, but for now let's just use the classic portal to get to our machine learning. We'll use the new portal, as it's called, in another event. Now I'm coming down here to machine learning, and now as a student you may be looking at this thinking, okay, well, I'm doing R, and how do I include R in this? Well, this particular presentation isn't going to really go over how to use R. We'll get into using R in the machine language at another time. Now, at UCLA, PhD students who are extensive R users and pretty experienced at machine learning felt that the ML approach that we used at Microsoft is pretty cool. So I'm going to open up Studio. So I'm bringing my mouse down here to open in Studio. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the machine learning workspace here. Last night when I was at UCLA, I had a number of students working together to do some machine learning practices. And so I entered them into my free, basically, MSDN account as administrators. And you can see all these administrators down here. And so if you have a free account and you want to allow other people to use your free account for 30 days, you can go ahead and set them up as co-administrators. Then they can get another account and use that. All right, so I'm not going to use this. If I said open this in Studio, then I would be disturbing his work. So I'm going to go over here to New and click on New. And now I'm going to go down here to machine learning, and we see there's only quick create. So I'm going to quick create an ML machine learning and give it a name. So I'm going to call it Dev Radio Analysis. Now, one of the things we were talking about today on Dev Radio Analysis is that how do we analyze if people are actually utilizing or watching this show? Well, one of the things that you would do with ML is maybe take a look at how people are using different products. So if you want to see, you may look at data from sites like videos about Kate Upton and see how long they watch those. Then you'd probably have a good idea that people are actually watching the Kate Upton videos. And now you want to create a machine learning tool that takes the data from the Kate Upton video and transfers that learning to something like Dev Radio so that you can use that to analyze, are people actually viewing the Dev Radio analysis. So let me go ahead and open this up and we'll take a look at the screen. And it takes a few seconds for it to open, and we have the experiment. Oh, look, no experiments found. Good. We also have samples that we could work off of, so let's take a look at the samples briefly. And all these samples, they don't have any fancy pictures or anything, and you may want to take a look at them. We'll be using a data set from here, so these are different ones that you can use. Now, if you are a student and you're looking for a project that you need to get done fairly quickly, you may want to take a look at these samples and back out of them the stuff you need to get your project done for the end of the year that's probably coming up right now. So now my experiments, I'm going to go ahead and create a new experiment. All right, so, oh, look at all these experiments I could use. So I could set these up, and we would be able to start from an existing experiment. Now, you notice download data from UCI. If you are a student, you probably want to try to get a data set in here from your school. Your school probably has a data set of research or something. So now I'm going to go ahead and create a blank experiment, and I'm going to call this the Dev Radio experiment. And here it kind of gives you a graph of what you're going to work on. Now, I'm going to be using in another slide, in another view, how a tutorial that I gave at the beginning of this presentation called bit.ly/UCLA prep. And that'll take you to the machine learning homepage, and then you need to scroll down and take a look at one of the documentations that's called Creating and Running Experiments. Okay, first off, take a look at this picture. This is kind of the way that our experiment will be looking in just a few minutes. So first we need to find a data set. And let's go ahead and type in automobile. And I want to get automobile price data. Now, this isn't live data, but you could pay for API information. In other words, you could access maybe a site like Carfax or something like that and bring in data from them. They may offer it for free. I don't know. But this one is a fixed automobile price data because it's just a demo. Now, if we right-click it, because it is data, not all things will visualize when you click on that dot, but this one will. And so now we'll go ahead and click on visualize, and we'll see the data. So the data's not really organized in a great way, but we can see that it's we can see the make of the cars, Alfa Romeo. It's a fuel type gas. Aspiration is standard. Number of doors is 2. Body style and so forth. And you can see it, but it's not really well organized, and we don't really know anything about the data. Now, cleverly hidden over here on the right hand of the page is a small dot X with a circle around it. Hover over that and click on it, and that goes away. Now, next, what we want to do is, so we have got the data. So we have 5 steps to create an experiment. First, we need to get the data. We need to pre-process the data, and we need to define the features. Next, we need to train the model, and then we need to score and test the model. So we've gotten our data. Now we need to pre-process the data. Okay, so let's pre-process the data, and the way that we do it is we need to project columns. And projecting the columns, think of it as setting up a database or using Excel. We put labels on the columns and use it that way. Now you'll notice if I come down here and try to visualize results, you may be able to see that the visualize is disabled. So I want to connect these two, and notice the red eye. This does indicate that this will not run as it's set right now, and we'll talk about that right after I drag this from here to here. Now we have data coming into the project columns. I click over here, and I need to launch the column selector. So here's all the columns that I can select from. And I want to select all columns, exclude. In this case, we're going to exclude a particular column. And we want to select normalized losses. Why do we want to select normalized losses? I don't know. Right now, we're going to just select normalized losses. And notice it doesn't bring that up, so we probably should look through here, and we see normalized losses is there. And we can leave it at that. And if we're done successfully, the green check will light up, and we can now come down here and select. You'll notice that the visualize is still not working. Oh, that's because we haven't run our model. So let's run the model. This should go quickly, because it doesn't do much. And now, let's try. It takes a second. Notice the little clock here. And so it's working. And now we have a green check. Yay, green checks are good. And now we come in and visualize it. It won't look too much different than what we had before, but we do have a bit of useless data gone, and that's the normalized losses. Okay, and we have some statistics over here. Look, we have no missing values. A visualization, we have a histogram, drive wheels, compare to, and we can do some things over here. Still not making a lot of sense, so we do need to do a little more work, but we've seen how to create a very simple model. We have our data, we output the data to the project columns, we select the columns, and then we run the model. So that's how we work through that very quickly. So now, we want to drag the missing value scrubber over here. So I come over here and type in missing values scrubber. And there it is. I probably could have just typed in missing or something like that. And now I bring it down here. Boom. And again, we have the red eye. And again, if we come over here, and we see visualize not working. And now if I drag this down to here, and I right click, still no visualization, but I do have visualization at this point because I do have a green check. Once again, we'll run this, and two, clock, tick tock, tick tock. Now we'll go ahead and run these in real time, but often these can take a minute or so and would be kind of boring to watch. But we can see we've got two green checks. Always exciting in machine learning to see the two green checks. Now I'm going to visualize, and bim, bam, boom. Still not a lot of differences, so we still need to do a little bit more work on our visualization, and we'll continue working on that. So we have three things. We have a automotive data raw, and here, now we can add a comment. So we're going to say exclude normalized losses. And then this, we can say, so we want to make sure we have some comments as we work on this, because these get pretty large and complex. And if you don't learn to put comments in early, you may forget why you did this, and that can be daunting to figure it out, especially if your boss is asking you some difficult questions. So as you can see, we a little twisty here. If I hit it, goes up, goes down, bam, bam, boom, and there we go. All right. So next, we want to define some features. So the features will be defined by make, body style, wheelbase, engine size, horsepower, peak RPM, highway MPG, and price. So how do we do that? We need to add another project columns, project columns, and we'll enter these over here. Now, remember, this can be live data, so if you figure out how to pull Twitter in, you could be doing Twitter analysis of things. Now, you can't, if you try to launch the column selector before you make the connection, then that's going to be hard to do because you don't have anything coming into the project columns. So first off, we want to do make, and then we want to do body style, and then we want to do wheelbase, and we want to do engine size. We want to do horsepower because we want really expensive cars with a lot of horsepower. Peak RPM and highway MPG. And price. Of course, I'm always more interested in price. Okay, so now I'm going to hit the green check, and notice that the red eye is gone, and we will add a learning solution in this step. Okay. So now what we want to do is apply a learning algorithm. And this is where we're actually using machine learning and not just setting up something that's similar to Excel. So we use our data to train the model and then test the model to see how close it is to predicting prices. We won't do that. This is getting a little long. You can do that, but by watching this video, you've seen pretty much how to use machine learning. So the next step is we need to add a split. And the split allows me to split the data into 75, 25 in this case. You could use some people like 33, 66. And over here on the side under properties, we are going to split rows and we're going to do it 75, 25. So I'm going to do 75% or 0.75 here and no random seed. So that means that one side, the left side, if I expand this a little bit, you'll see what that is. Fraction of rows in the first output data set. Next. So now we have our split. And again, if I try to visualize this, I wouldn't be able to visualize it because we haven't run it. Next, we're going to go ahead and set up a visualization with our split using a linear regression to put it into train mode. So over here I'll type in linear, and train model always makes me think that this is a small train set of some sort. So I'll just place it here. This is not in line with anything that we'll be using, and now we'll do the train model. And I'm not sure if it's an HL train model or a N grade. Little joke. So this is our train model, training model. And so now we pull it down here. So now what I'm going to do is take my 75% split and put it into the right side. Now side matters. I said side matters. And on this, so the left side of the split comes to the right side of the train model, and our linear regression comes over here to the left side of the train model. So now the trained regression model can be used to score new samples to make predictions. So now let's predict new automobile prices. So we'll pick a score model here. And we notice we haven't run it, so we have the little red eye. So now let's do a score model. And we'll drop it down here. Now these are kind of terms that you may not fully understand. So the score model allows us to use our modeling and to take a look at it. So I'm going to drop the right side of the split to the left side of the train model. Now remember, this is the test piece, and now the train model is the output to the score model. So we want to run the experiment, and then we'll click visualize. Now this will take a few minutes. Okay, now we connect the linear regression to the train model and the left side of the split to the right side of the train model here. In the train model, we pick the launch column selector. I've already selected price, but you come down here and click on it and price would show up. Let's do that anyway. So now there's the price. Notice the eye has gone away. I click check and we're ready to go. Next, we'll go ahead and run this, and this will score new samples to make predictions. So I'm going to go ahead and run it. And we're running. Okay, so here we have the model has completed running, and now I can come down here to the train model and visualize. And we can see that we have weightings of the different makes and some data that you probably would need to read the article that I'm referencing with the bit.ly/UCLA prep. So now we want to score our model to see how accurate it is. And so now we're at a score. And so we'll add the score model. And our score model needs to have the left side from the train model to the one single output from the train model to the left side model. And the right side of the train of the split, I'm sorry, the right side of the split module to the right side of the score model. So this is the test data, and now we're going to test our train model to see how good our predictor is in comparison to the output from our project columns at the top here. All right, so now we are running the experiment, so we're going to run it. I've run the experiment. Let me go back here to the experiment. I added the evaluate model to the score model. Now, you'll notice that there's two inputs on the evaluate model. That's so that I can could run two models to evaluate one against the other. We're using this mostly as an output so we can take a look at the presentation. And so let's go ahead and right-click on the little output data set and visualize. And now we look at our data and we see the average absolute errors, or mean. We see the square root of the average, which is the root mean. We see the relative absolute error, relative squared error, and coefficient of determination. Smaller is better, so these are kind of small. And the smaller values indicate that predictions closely show or run against the predicted, the coefficient of determination. So the final experiment that you would run using the instructions at bit.ly/UCLA-prep, which if you're an AP student, not a bad idea to take a look at if you're prepping for UCLA, right? So we bring over the data, we project our project, we set up our project columns, we scrub missing values, so sometimes in our value set we'll have unentered data, so this removes the data, like then we bring back in and look at project columns. Now, do you need both of these? I don't know, that this is more for the demonstration. Now we apply a linear regression, which is a Bayesian kind of thing. So if we use the term Bayesian in any conversation, that makes you smarter, I guess. Then we split the data so that we have data here that is the real data, and then we have data on our right side, which is the test data. So we're going to pull these in. We're going to train our model using a linear regression, and then our output from here is going against the score model. So we have our test and our score model, and now we output those two so that we use an evaluation model. Now, to be clear, in conclusion on this piece of our presentation is that we've created a model that is very basic in principle. It is based on R, so we can go in and add R type of tools anytime we want to. These can be reevaluated if they're not doing what you want them to do. This can be done against live data like Twitter, airline on-time evaluations, automobile prices. All of this can be done live. You can sell this on using an app in the iPhone store, in the Android store, or in the Microsoft stores. Now, switching back to my PowerPoint. So we've used the demo, and we've used an existing tutorial. It's very easy to work with. You can do this with the free MSDN account, and you can also set this up so that you're using this in an app that you've created. So this is predictive analysis. These are the kinds of things that you can use. You can churn analysis, you can do equipment monitoring, and pricing analysis and fraud detection. So what is machine learning? The goal of machine learning is to program computers to use example data or past experience to solve a given problem. Hey, I just read the PowerPoint slide to you. My apologies. But anyway, our data might look like ABC alphabet. Those are just letters, but if we combine them, like spell the word about, now we have an object that has a meaning as a word. So any new understanding will proceed from previous knowledge. So supervised learning, we do things like when to use. How the data is divided, then you select and clean your data and present it, which is what we did. The answers are labeled. Then you select an algorithm to compute the outcome, which we did. Then you run the program, and the final output is then used to against the data to get the answers that you need. So you have to have existing data to get future data. And your data has to be good. So that's up to you to decide, is your data accurate? So if I'm trying to determine if somebody actually watched a Dev Radio episode, I need to be able to compare it against something that I know somebody is probably watching. So supervised learning is when you know how to use, you know when to use it, you know how the data can be divided. You have an understanding of how your data should be presented. So if you have a customer, you want to see how they do reports. You want to take a look at their reports and then use those for your learning data because that's how they expect to see the data. You then need to select an algorithm. It doesn't have to be a complex idea. Just understand what a Bayesian linear regression is or anything else. If you're talking to somebody and you throw in the word Bayesian, hey, more power to you. Run the program, examine, and pick the best model on your output, and best model, and then do your final output, which might be to an Excel spreadsheet. It could be to Google Docs, whatever you're using, and that would be your output. But better yet, put your output out to Windows 10, a Windows 10 app. Okay, thank you very much, and that's the end of this show. We'll see you next time on Dev Radio. Thank you very much.